This is Pastor Brandon from Olive Branch Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from our Wednesday night Young Church service. Young Church is comprised of middle and high school students that meet weekly from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this message. Well, we finally finished Heroes 2 weeks ago. Talked about Samson. It took like the whole summer and most of September to do that. And last week I was barfing my guts out, so you guys got to hear from Mr. Nick, right? Yeah, I heard he did a great job. And the one thing I've heard over and over again is he smashed a mirror. I know, I've heard. Nick, thank you, dude. Good job last week. Yes. What? I know. Thank you, Michaela. You smashed a mirror. I got that. That's awesome. Well, hopefully you guys got the message behind smashing the mirror and the whole your self-image thing. Hopefully you got that going on. But tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. Have you guys ever watched a prequel? Yeah, like the Star Wars prequels, or we don't talk about those. Or like, what other prequels are there? There's about to be another. What other one? Okay, Captain Marvel, yeah, that's kind of a prequel. What other prequels to movies or books that you've read? What about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them? Any Harry Potter fans? Yeah, that's a prequel to Harry Potter, right? So basically what we've got going on is there's something that's happening this weekend. Does anybody know what it is? Camp Refuel, yeah! So we got Camp Refuel this coming weekend, and our theme is Anchored. So what I figured I'd do tonight is do a little prequel for you, for those of you who are going. Those of you who aren't, we're going to try to make sure that you can hear those messages online and soon so that you guys can hear what's going on. So this is going to be a prequel to that message. So tonight we're going to be talking about who is this. And we're going to be starting in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and we'll end in verse 41. So if you got your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, turn to verse 35. It is okay for you to use your phone as long as you stay in the Bible app. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab a pew Bible or read off the person next to you. If you don't have a Bible at all, like you don't have one even to bring with you, let me know and I want to get a Bible in your hands, okay? So Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. If you're there, say, I am. If you're not there, say, I'm not. It's about half. So let me ask you this while you guys are turning there. What is something that's really amazing that God has helped you with? Stress. God has helped you with stress. Awesome. What else? Something really amazing that God has helped you with? Recovery. Absolutely. Very good. What else? He's helped you with death. Okay. Yeah, he's beaten death. That's pretty cool. Chase.
I don't know.
He can't do it. Seth. School has helped you with school. Good. Anything else? Life in general. Yeah, God's pretty good at helping you with life. He's kind of the author of life, right? He invented life. He created it. So God is pretty good at helping with those things, right? So here in Mark chapter 4, we're going to read a little bit about how Jesus helped in another situation. It says this in verse 35. I said 34, I meant 35. On that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. What sea is he talking about? Can anybody tell me? Sea of Galilee. You guys got it. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. Who's him? Who's this guy? Jesus. That's right. Typical Sunday school answer. Jesus. And then it says, a fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Have you ever felt swamped? Raise your hand if you ever felt swamped. Yeah. Guess what? I feel swamped every Wednesday. But I love it because I get to be with you guys. But sometimes we're swamped by things that we don't love. What are some things that have swamped you guys?
Children.
Children. How many... Chase's children's. I think he means his sibling children's, not his children's. But yeah, children's can swamp you. Yeah. Can. His older brother, okay. What are some other things? Yes, Michaela. What's it? Recovery, yeah, that can swamp you. Absolutely. What are some other things? School, I heard one. Yeah. Is that what you're going to say? No, school, it just can swamp you. How many of you have ever been swamped by a family situation, something at home? Yeah, yeah. Raymond, you, I think that was your hand up. What have you ever been swamped by?
Bills.
Bills, yeah. Amen. Yeah, I can testify. Okay. Yeah, I get swamped with bills. Anything else? All right. Yeah, we get swamped with stuff. These guys were getting swamped, but they were getting swamped with a literal storm. Right, Noah? This storm was real. This wasn't the storm of life. This was a real storm that they were going through. It says this in verse 38. While this storm is going on, it's starting to overcome the boat. But it says, but he was in the stern. Who's he?
Jesus.
Sleeping on the cushion. Most likely a fishing net. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Here's what's going on. They're in a boat, and it's not a big boat. It's a tiny boat. And they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes, and the waves are literally breaking over the boat, and somehow Jesus has taken a nap. I have no clue how he manages this, but he's taken a nap. And they freak out. They said, we're gonna die. Don't you even care? They wake him up. Have you ever felt that way with Jesus? Be honest. Yeah. Jesus, do you even care? If we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there. God, I'm going through something really rough. Do you even care? Are you even there? Are you taking a nap? What's going on, God? And that's not easy to go through. You feel like God's not paying attention. You feel like God doesn't even care. We all have that feeling, and we all want to suppress it. None of us are willing to talk about it. But I will. There have been times in my life where I've asked God, do you even care? When my stepmom passed away, that was really hard. My sister passed away, that was even harder. I went through a lot of personal struggles in college and struggled with finances and couldn't even afford meals. God, do you even care? But he does. May not feel like it. May feel like he's taking a nap, but he's not. But this is what they're feeling like, because they're in a real-life situation. They're not going through a storm of life. They're going through a real, actual storm that could kill them. And Jesus is taking a nap. But here's the thing. When he's taking a nap, is he any less the God of the universe? Is he any less in charge? So check this out. Verse 39. Who's he?
Jesus
got up, rebuked the wind. You guys know what that word means, rebuke?
Turn the other way.
Close. That's repent. What's that?
Ordered.
It's almost like if you have a friend and that friend is doing something they know they ought not to be doing, right? You got a friend and they're dating someone who's not a Christian. You got a friend and they're getting into drugs. You got a friend and they're using language they not ought to be using. And you say, hey, you got to cut that out. That's not cool. Stop it. That's rebuking. And so Jesus has that moment, but not with a person, with the actual wind itself. He rebukes the wind, and then it says this. It says, he says to the sea, silence, be still. That's enough. Be still. And what does it say, young church? It says, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Then he said to them, who's them? The disciples. Who's he? Jesus. Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? Do you have no faith? That seems kind of harsh. I mean, it was like they were kind of dying and you were taking a nap. Come on, Jesus. I mean, they had a reason to be concerned. This is not a big boat. It's not meant for the storm. They had a reason to be concerned, Jesus. You don't need to be so harsh with them and ask if they had no faith. Come on. But I think Jesus is on to something. I mean, he ought to be. He's Jesus. And here's what I think. Up to verse 35 in chapter 4, the disciples had seen Jesus do a bunch of miracles. And not just small stuff either. And this is only recorded in the book of Mark. We don't know what was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the other gospels that happened before this point. We don't know exactly where in the timeline, but a lot of stuff happened. And you know, John, when he finished writing the Gospel of John, you know what he says at the end? He said, Jesus did so much that it couldn't even fill all the books and all the libraries in the world. And he's not just talking about Jesus' whole life. He's only talking about the 3 years that Jesus did ministry. So I have no clue how much Jesus actually did in this time, but we only have what's recorded. So if we only go off of the book of Mark, here's what happens so far. They question his miracles. After they see this, they question him even though they've seen these miracles. And even though Jesus' question seems smart, I think it's because they forgot what God had already done for them. They had literally forgot what Jesus had already done for them and in front of them. Verse 41, it says, and they were terrified. This is after the storm is calmed. Why are they terrified? The storm's gone. What are they afraid of? Yeah, they're afraid of Jesus. Why? Well, let's keep reading. They asked one another, who is this? Right, fellas? Who is this? That even the wind and sea obey him. Here's what had happened. They had already seen Jesus cast out demons. A couple weeks, we're going to talk about some demons. Real demons, they exist. It's not a made-up thing. It's not just something you see in a movie. They're real. Jesus had cast them out. The demons had to obey him. We'll learn about that in a couple weeks. They had already seen him heal somebody who was completely paralyzed. Even the thing that was causing those people to be paralyzed, to the fact they couldn't even move. One guy in the book of Mark before this point was so paralyzed that his friends had to dig a hole in the roof of a house because Jesus was so popular at this point and lower him down. He couldn't even, like, it wasn't just his legs or his arm, he was completely paralyzed. And Jesus said, get up and walk. Even the paralysis had to obey Jesus. They had also seen him heal blind people, deaf people, mute people. And not only that, they had seen him teach with such authority that even the people who were thought to be the religious leaders of the day couldn't match up to him. And he didn't grow up learning in synagogue like they did. He didn't grow up learning all the... He was just a common person. But he was more than that because he was God. And he teaches with authority. And so all these things obey Jesus, but none of these things are quite this massive as nature itself. And so nature itself, this storm, the wind and the sea, obey Jesus. And here's what I think, and we're pretty much almost done with this message. Sometimes when we are surprised that Jesus does something big in our lives, it's an indicator that we weren't very trusting of him. Have you ever thought of that? You're like, oh man, I can't believe Jesus did that. That was awesome. Well, why can't you believe Jesus did that? I mean, I think about these disciples. They had seen Jesus, and all of you raised your hand. I mean, some of them seem small, but some of them are really big things, and I know what some of you are going through. And Jesus has helped you with that, and you've told me that. But then Jesus does something. You're like, man, Jesus is awesome. I can't believe he did that. Why can't you believe it? He saved you from death. He saved you from the grave. He saved you from sin. You no longer have to be a slave to sin. He's done awesome things in your life. Yeah, your life's not perfect, but Jesus had done awesome things in your life. Why can't you believe that he's going to do something good? And that's kind of what happens to them. They see all these miracles, and they just can't believe this. And I think the reason Jesus asked, why do you not have any faith? Because they had seen all this other stuff. It was no different. But to them, it was on a different scale. But to Jesus, who's powerful enough to do all things, it wasn't any different scale for him. It took the same amount of power to raise someone from the dead, to raise someone who's been paralyzed, to heal the blind, to speak, to do anything. It takes the same amount of power. As a matter of fact, we learned a while ago here at YC that actually it was during YC week, we learned that the world came to being by God speaking, right? And then we learned in John chapter 1 that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And who was the Word? Jesus. So the word that God spoke, Jesus carried out creation. A simple word. Jesus doesn't have to conjure up a bunch of power like you see in the movies. You know, he's not like Superman where he has got to absorb a certain amount of the sun, or he's not like, that's right, Goku from Dragon Ball Z, where he's got to power up for 6 episodes and then finally do something, right? I swear, if Dragon Ball Z, how many people in Dragon Ball Z does it take to change a light bulb? 1, but it takes 12 episodes. I mean, come on. So here's what happened. He doesn't have to conjure up this power. He has it. It's effortless for him. But we sometimes forget what God can do. So this week, I want you to remember, as the band comes on stage and we're going to sing this last song, I want you to remember all the good things that God has done for you in your life, the good things that you have seen God do in other people's lives. And if you ever need a reminder of the good things that God does, look in the Bible. That's a record of God doing good things. So if you ever need to remember about the good things that God does, just look at His Word. Ask your Christian brothers and sisters. Ask your own life, what has God done in my life? And if you haven't seen God do something big in your life, maybe you don't have faith in Him. Maybe you're like the disciples, and at this point, yeah, they were following Jesus, but they didn't really believe Him. Because if they really believed that Jesus was who He said He was, then they would have known that He had the power to calm the storm. They wouldn't have even had to wake Him up from His nap. And they find out more and more. It takes the disciples a long time to figure out who Jesus really is. If you're struggling to see what God is doing in your life, maybe it's because you don't know who He really is yet. So ask yourself this question: who is Jesus in my life? Maybe at this point He's nobody to you. Well, that doesn't do you any good. Maybe you would say, yeah, He's my Savior, but I'm not going to follow Him. Well, that doesn't work. He can't be one or the other. He can't be your Lord, your Master, and not your Savior either. The best answer that you can give is for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, your best friend, your father, your brother. He died for all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. All you have to do is accept. So stand up, close your eyes, bow your heads, and we're going to pray. Father, I pray for anyone here tonight who has not seen You as their Lord and Savior, who is asking who You are and diligently seeking You, God, that they will find out tonight. God, I pray that You would set a fire in our souls, Father, that You would be the cornerstone of our lives, God, that we would tie ourselves to the anchor that holds within the veil. God, I pray that You would take anyone here tonight who doesn't know You and make sure they don't leave this place until they do. And Father, I pray that You would change hearts. And God, I pray for this upcoming weekend, for those who are going to camp and those who aren't, that You would use every day possible to change lives. But God, I pray that You would be with us. They would be with those who don't know You yet, and be with those who do know You to share Your message with those who don't know You. Father, we love You and praise You, and I pray for anyone here tonight that they would be able to get right with You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sometimes I stand in the back, sometimes I stand in the front. Tonight I'm going to stand in the front. If you guys need to pray, if you need something, you know, God just put something in your heart, come talk to me. And you don't have to just come talk to me. There are leaders, youth leaders all around this room. Your friends around this room. You can pray with them. It's okay if you don't sing a verse or two. If there's a decision you need to make, I'm here. Your friends are there. Your youth leaders are there.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from the Young Church. You can stay connected with us by following us on social media, or feel free to stop by 1 week to our Young Church service on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Olive Branch Baptist Church. If you have any questions about this week's message or want to share how it touched your life, send an email to yc@obbcblackridge.com.